Our text for this morning is Ephesians chapter 5, verse 20. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Giving thanks always for all things. How on earth do you do that? To be very blunt about it, how do you do that? There are times, perhaps maybe as you gather with your families on this day, and you fellowship together on this day, and you remember the goodness of the Lord to you through this past year, maybe it'll be easy. You can think of the harvest, how it went. You can think of the business of the past year. You can think of the challenges you've overcome. You can think of the faithfulness of the Lord. And in those contexts, what an amazing blessing it is. And maybe, by the grace of God, easy to give thanks. But how do you give thanks? For example, when you open the birthday present, and it's been something you've really, really wanted, like let's say a remote control car, and you open it up, you put the batteries in, and you have 5 minutes of playing with it, and it quits working, and it's broken. How are you supposed to be thankful then? Giving thanks always for all things unto God. Always, all things. I have a friend in Tasmania who we have not spoken to by voice in years. And they were marvelously blunt and very direct. And out of the way the Lord led her dear soul, she was always trying to do what was best and right for her other friends and direct them to the Lord right away. But some people would find it off-putting. A friend would be diagnosed with cancer, and her response is, "And are you thankful for it? Are you thankful for it? You thankful for the cancer?" And theologically, you couldn't fault her. Biblically, you couldn't fault her. Perhaps her manner was not the most pastoral, but she wanted to drive them to the Lord Jesus. But how do you do it? How do I? Not just when times are good, but when times are bad. Give thanks always for all things unto God. How do we do it? Well, we hope to consider three keys, so to speak, for thanksgiving. And if at times for you, being thankful and giving thanks is like a lock that seems hard to open, a lock that requires a combination, and some fancy locks even require more than one key to be turned at the same time, these three things, with the Lord's blessing, will be our blessed help. How do you be thankful and always, at all times? Firstly, be wise. Be wise. That is what we find in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 17. "Wherefore, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is." If we would be thankful, let us first, by the grace of God, be wise. "Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is." Well, it starts with be not unwise. What does it mean to be unwise? Well, really, to be unwise simply means to be foolish, to be sinful, to be short-sighted, to look down upon the Lord and to look down upon His word. That truly is foolishness. And it's amazing how that really is one of the first things that leads us to our unthankfulness, isn't it? When we're foolish. How foolish is it to take a look at our circumstances in life and feel overwhelmed, which is so easily done, and forget there is a loving Heavenly Father for Jesus' sake that has blessed us with every blessing in heavenly places, that has promised to turn everything that we undergo in life for good. How foolish is it to somehow think God is so small that he can't understand me, that he can't relate to me, that we forget that everything is being done according to his will and his plan, and nothing is out of his control. How foolish is that? But how quickly don't we do that? Let's be wise. Be wise, not foolish. But here, being wise is something very particular. Wherefore, be not unwise, but, and this in the force of the verse is the contrast, but understanding what the will of the Lord is, knowing what God's will is. If we would be thankful, you have to know what God's will is. But maybe you think that makes it worse. It's hard enough not to be foolish. It's hard enough to remember God. And now I have to know what God's will is? There are times we feel like, how do I know what God's will is? Only God knows what God's will is. I wish he'd show me. I wish he'd tell me, because I don't understand. Maybe Job felt that way in the Bible. Maybe you feel that way about your work, about your home, about your relationships, about your future. I wish the Lord would just tell me what he wants me to do and make it plain. Well, he has. Just depends on how you're going to be thinking about God's will. When it says here, wherefore be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is, he is exhorting the people in Ephesus and us to follow the teachings of the scriptures. To use other passages to highlight this idea. When it comes to being wise and knowing what the Lord's will is, passages like Deuteronomy 29:29 show us. The secret things belong unto the Lord our God. The secret things here is the future, what will happen to the nation of Israel as they go into the promised land. The secret things belong unto the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed, the things God has shown us, the things materializing before our eyes, like the commands of his word, and the things that are happening to you in your everyday life, those things which the Lord has revealed belong unto us. That's ours. The things he's revealed is ours. And to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. All too often when we get fearful about what is the will of the Lord, it is because we're worrying about those things which are God's business and not ours. We're worrying about those things which are God's business and not ours. Those things are secret. What's going to happen in the future? Why they happened? Those are things that belong to God. And we would be wrong to rob him of those things and demand that he make them ours. When we do, all we do is borrow anxiety. We borrow trouble. When we demand God tell us what he has sought fit to keep secret. When he has given us, and here is the wisdom of the believing heart, when it is content and happy and focuses on what God has revealed, and what God has revealed. How do we know what we should do? By what he has given us, by what belongs to us, what he has revealed before us. What has the Lord revealed to us? Like I mentioned earlier, the Lord has revealed to us that he would bless us with a great harvest, with tremendous economic prosperity despite our own wickedness. That's a blessing. That's what he's revealed to us. What are we to do with it? Take it for granted? Spend it on our own desires? Pat ourselves on the back for all the good work we did? No. What should we do? What does the Word of God tell us? to give praise and thanks to Him who gave it, to use it for His glory and His honor, to be careful to take care of ourselves and of our families, and to set some aside to help others in need. An example after example of what? Biblical directive of how we are to use these blessings. Follow through with those things revealed. And not only with those things that are good. When the toy you just opened that you were so excited about, and you were enjoying playing with for 5 or 10 minutes, and it just stops working. No matter how many times you change the batteries or what kinds of batteries you use, it's just busted. Do you just surrender to the broken heart? Or what do you remember? You remember, wait a minute. We can bring it back. We can take it to someone who will fix it. You can get your mind and your heart out of your disappointment. And you remember, God's blessed you with parents who will try their best to make it right. And you can remember even further, boys and girls, that what good is a toy? You can't take it with you when you die. Even the best and nicest of toys don't last that long. But what things do you have that's better than any toy, no matter how much you may have wanted it? The God who made the world and the God who provides all things will continue, as you would look to Him in repentance and faith, to provide everything you need and more. Really, though you can see how sad it is when the new toy breaks, ultimately it's still no reason to not be thankful for all that God has given. And the same thing is true with the disease, with the cancer, the lost child, the difficulty of the people not understanding, the loneliness. You can carry those things all the way through too. God knows why. That secret. How it will turn out, how you will get through, He knows. But what has He set before you? Trust Me. Follow Me. Take hold of the promises that I will bring you through, that I will not tempt you beyond what you can bear. Remember, though you are losing and in the midst of pain, things very essential to you, body and emotionally, remember, I gave My Son for the likes of you. And if I gave Him to you, won't I give you everything you need to? Just by being wise and remembering what the Lord has revealed, following the principles of His word and the glory of what He's done in Christ, we can be thankful always for all things. Always for all things. But it takes wisdom. That's the first key. The second is that we be filled with the Holy Spirit. That we be filled with the Holy Spirit. That's what continues in verse 18. It says in verse 17, "Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is, and be not drunk with wine." Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. What a contrast. Being wise, understanding what the will of the Lord is according to the Scriptures and what He has revealed, with being drunk. Have you ever been drunk? You ever seen people who are drunk? What happens to people who are drunk, besides the fact they make themselves sick and a nuisance to everyone around them? They become very dangerous in everything they do. They don't drive in a way that's safe. They kill people with their vehicles because they're not in control. With their words and the things they say, the filter is gone. And so often every sinful, hurtful, or blubbering in self-righteousness or foolishly happy thing just comes on out. And the words hurt family. The words hurt friends. The words cause tremendous pain. We could go on with different examples, but notice with just those two, what drunkenness does. Takes your mind away. You lose control. And when that happens, everyone gets in tremendous danger. That's the contrast with being wise and being foolish. When it says, be not drunk with wine, it is saying, don't be out of control. Don't be out of control. It's amazing. That's what alcohol does so much, isn't it? It takes control. You need the drink to get through the day, through the week, through the trouble. You need it. Congregation, this morning when I cleaned up around the building, I didn't find bottles of alcohol, but I found little needles where people were injecting themselves with drugs because they needed it to deal with their problems. And when they are high on the substances they inject into their bodies, they are out of control. Maybe not in some kind of violent, crazy way, but not of their faculties, not of themselves. And we might not get drunk. We ought not to be drunkards. It's a very dangerous and damning sin. But we ought always to be in control. We ought not to be, as it says here, because it's really not drunkenness that is the primary emphasis. And be not drunk with wine, and here is the issue. Wherein is excess? Wherein is excess? Too much wine, too much alcohol leads to drunkenness. But the problem is the excess. The excess. And so often we give ourselves over to things, don't we? Too much of one thing, too much of another. To use the biblical language, there is no moderation. There is no self-control. We spend the money on lavish things we shouldn't, and we get a massive debt. We abuse our bodies with different substances, legal or illegal. Perhaps even spiritually. Perhaps even spiritually. We indulge in the flesh. We indulge in the lies of the devil. We indulge in self-righteousness. We indulge in self-pity. We indulge in anger. Rather than doing what? Holding fast the scriptures. Acknowledging sin. Acknowledging anger. Confessing wrong feelings. Rather than using the money rightly, according to the purposes God has given. Rather than drinking alcohol in moderate amounts, as scripture so often testifies to, whether a little wine to make the heart merry or a little wine for the stomach. But the point is control. If you are filled with the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ, you are not out of control. There are some people, some Christians today, who believe that. And some of you may have never been exposed to this. They believe they are filled with the Spirit when they are babbling in words they do not say. They believe they are filled with the Spirit when they are jumping up and down and rolling around on the ground and barking like animals. Now you say, well, of course, that's obviously wrong. But I ask you this. If they turned to pages in the book of Acts and started pointing about the work of the Spirit and the miraculous things that were happening and saying, this is based on the Word of God, could you give an answer to them? You cannot dismiss our erring brothers and sisters out of hand, but they are still erring. We must be in control if we would be filled with the Spirit. We must be in control, following the Word of God. Because if you would be filled with the Spirit, you must be filled with the Word. You must be filled with the Word. And it's interesting the way verses 18 and 19 connect together. Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. What is the evidence you are filled with the Spirit? How is one filled with the Spirit? It tells us in verse 19, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Child of God, if you would be filled with the Spirit, as the Spirit has put faith in your heart, as the Spirit dwells within you, as you would so often need the transforming of your mind, fill yourself with the Spirit. Ask for His presence, for His help, for His guidance. And where do you go in prayer for all these things? The Word of God. The Word of God. If you would be filled with the Spirit, you must be in maximum control. And to be in maximum control is to always be submitting yourself, filling yourself, constantly exposing yourself to the Word of God. To the Word of God. In verse 19, it's talking about more than simply just singing nice Christian songs. It says, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. There is a being filled with the Word, we could say, outside and inside. Firstly, the outside. It begins speaking to yourselves. Speaking to yourselves. Do we speak to each other the Word of God? Do we speak to each other the Word of God? We can speak to one another about family. We can speak to one another about what's going on in our lives. We can speak to one another about our hopes and dreams. We can speak to one another about all kinds of things, and we should. But do we speak to one another the Word of God? That's the outward element. The Word of God should be coming out of us to each other, speaking God's Word to each other. But not just outside, but inside too. Inside too. Notice how this fits. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. In other words, if you would speak the Word of God to others, you must be singing in your heart first. If you must be speaking the Word of God to others, you must be singing it in your heart first. Well, what does it mean to sing the Word of God in your heart? Singing and making melody in your heart. When you sing, why do you sing? You ever notice when people sing? They sing when they're happy. They sing when they're thinking. They sing when they're sad. They sing as an expression of what is going on in their minds and in their hearts. Some people sing when nobody else sees. Some people sing when they don't care who sees. The child of God is always to be singing in their heart. Always, as it were, pouring out their heart to their Heavenly Father. Singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. About what? Let me put it to you another way. About who? About who? And we know about who because of what it is we are to sing. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, seeking and making melody in your heart. If I asked you, what is a psalm, a hymn, and a spiritual song, what would you say? What would you say? People have all kinds of different ideas. But what did it mean to Paul? What did it mean to the people of the time? What was their songbook? What was their hymn book? Where did they find those spiritual songs? Did they just go write their own? No. Those words meant something very particular to people who were lovers of the Word of God at the time, particularly Jews and Gentiles who God had taught to fear the Lord. They used the Old Testament in Greek. And guess what the Jews and the Gentiles would have thought when they see those words in Greek? What is their songbook? What is the Spirit given them to be filled with? The Psalms. All those words, psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs in Greek, refer to different parts of the Psalms in the Greek version of the Old Testament. And there is something glorious about that. Because which book of the Bible in the Old Testament is the most about the Lord Jesus Christ? Which book? Which book? How would you guess? Some people say Isaiah, because the prophecies of Isaiah are full of pictures and predictions of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, which we can see clearly has fulfilled. But even if you go by prophecies, and even if you go by quotations of Old Testament books in the New Testament, you know what is just behind Isaiah? In the gospel writers, in the other New Testament writers, what book of the Old Testament is always on their pen and on their lips? Do you know what book it is? The Psalms. The Psalms. What book did Jesus sing from? What book claims to be the words of Jesus? What book in the Bible explains the very depths and the experiences of the Lord Jesus and all he has suffered, not only his life, his death, his resurrection, but his ascension? What book is filled with all the glories of his person and work for every office and everything he did to secure our salvation? What blessed book is it? Psalms. The Psalms. If we would speak the Word of God to one another, and we would be singing the Word of God to one another, we must be singing of Jesus. And the Psalms par excellence do that. They do it first and foremost as they are his words and his experiences. If you've never read the Psalms that way, if you've never sung the Psalms that way, then you have never truly read them or sung them. And if that sounds suspicious to you, I don't know if the Psalms are really all that much about Jesus, because there are people who say that. Study the book of Acts. Study the book of Hebrews. Study the messages and the letters. Study the use of the Psalms in the New Testament. And you can come to no other conclusion than it is the book filled with Christ. It is the book of Christ. And it is the book of praise Christ sang and has given us to sing in our hearts and to one another. And if we, by the grace of God, would do that, if we would be wise, holding fast to the treasure of the Scriptures, living as God has revealed, trusting him for the things that are secret, if we would live by the grace of God, always in control, not giving ourselves over to excess and making idols of alcohol and money and all we're prone to make idols of, but if we would indeed speak of the Lord Jesus to one another, as we sing of him in our hearts to the blessed Heavenly Father, would we not be thankful? We would be thankful in every circumstance and in every way. And in times when we are not thankful, in every circumstance and in every way, it is because we are not trusting Him with what is secret and cherishing what He has revealed, and that we are not, as it were, in maximum control as we rest in joy on who our Lord is, as we sing to the Father of who Jesus is and what He's done as He is revealed in His Word, and as we speak to one another of Him. Then we would truly be thankful in every circumstance. All too often, child of God, we're not. And this second key would be so blessedly helpful. But there is a third. There is a third surrounding our text here. There is not only to be wise, there is not only to be in control, speaking and singing of the Lord Jesus according to His Word. There is, if we would give thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, there is a submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Here is a blessed Christ-like way for us to be thankful, to submit ourselves one to another in the fear of God. In the fear of God means in faith, submitting ourselves one to another in the faith. It's really hard to submit yourself to somebody. To say, I'm going to put you in authority over me. I'm going to risk being hurt by you. Because when you submit to someone, they can hurt you. They can hurt you. And how do you get past this? I'm going to submit to you, even though I know you might be able to hurt me. Because you trust the Lord in it. Submitting yourselves to one another in the fear of God, not in the fear of man. We don't submit to people that we can trust. We don't submit to people because they are worthy of it. We submit to one another because that's what God would have us do. But notice what comes first then. What comes first is the fear of God. That's what must come first if we would submit to one another. And this is where our Lord Jesus is the greatest example of this ever. Ever. Jesus is the Lord, God, King of the universe. But He did the stinkiest, lowest, most despised jobs of anybody of His time. And in John chapter 13, verses 13 through 15, He puts these two things together. He puts together His radical lordship, which we are called to confess and trust, and we are called to follow His example, to submit and serve. He says in John 13, verses 13 through 15, "Ye call me Master and Lord. Ye call me Master and Lord. And ye say, well, He is Master and Lord. Ye say, well, for so I am." And this is what He says next. "As the greatest and the highest, which He claims before them all, if then your Lord and Master have washed your feet," if you pardon the directness of the example, perhaps you think it of wipe your bottom. Do what is considered the most undesirable of services. "If then your Lord and Master have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done to you." Our Lord did it. So we ought to do it. Like Him. He didn't submit himself and wash the dirty feet of his apostles, knowing that they would always love him, always follow him, always care for him, and never betray him. Because as he did it, that's what would happen next. They would flee from him, forsake him, deny him, and leave him to die alone. We don't serve one another, submit to one another, care for one another, because we are worthy of it. By the grace of God, we would seek to be faithful and so be. But we do it because he has served us. That is why when we, by the grace of God, trust in him and we submit ourselves to our Lord, we submit to one another. In Philippians chapter 2, the Apostle Paul talks about how the Lord Jesus has come and humbled himself, and how the mind of the Lord Jesus must be in us. He says in Philippians chapter 2, verse 3, "Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind," not highness of mind, not in self-righteousness, but in humility, "as he who counted himself equal with God, left all the glory of it behind, and took upon him the form of a man, that he could suffer and die in the place of men. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves." In worldly wisdom, submission doesn't lead to happiness. In biblical wisdom, submission is a key to happiness. Submission to God in whatever he calls you to do, trusting in his blessed provision, and out of that, submission to one another. Congregation, this Thanksgiving Day, despite what we all may have gone through in our individual selves, families, in our businesses, the things that many of us know of one another, the blessed times and the hard times, and maybe the secret things in your own heart that nobody knows but the Lord, compared to what we deserve, we have so much more. And even compared to so many in the world, and nothing would cause us to differ than the sovereign will of God, we have so much more, so much to be thankful for. In times like that, when we see the goodness of the Lord and the abundance, and it's as it were fitting to our senses, let us praise the Lord and give thanks unto God and the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. But also when the people don't understand, when you feel alone, when the cancer diagnosis comes, when the challenges financially, familially, and practically come, when the new toy breaks, if we, by the grace of God, turn to Jesus Christ and out of ourselves, and we be truly wise, and we be, as it were, fully in control, being filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another of the things of Christ according to his word, as we encourage ourselves with the things of Christ according to his word, and we would submit to God and each other, and that way we will be able, by the grace of God, to give thanks always for all things. Amen. Let us pray. Our Lord and our God, our blessed Heavenly Father, thou truly art good unto those who call upon thy name. And we ask, Lord, for thy continued care and for remembering us, we pray, with thankful hearts. Help us, Lord, to be thankful. Help us, Lord, at all times and in all ways as we have considered this morning. And now, Lord, regardless of what would happen to thy people, let us be thankful, remembering what we have and such a blessed Lord. We pray now, Lord, for Fred and Arlene Yonkman. We pray thou would keep them safe and end the protests in Ecuador. And remember thy people and prosper them wherever they are. We pray, Lord, for thy continued help through this day. And truly, Lord, bless us for Jesus' sake alone. Amen.